magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to Dutch Arcade Show episode number 430. This is the After Dark edition slash I'm Ultra Sick edition slash we'll see how this goes. We're actually recording on a Thursday night because tomorrow Eli's got a fun time planned with the old dentist.
Yep.
And that should be a good time for you, I'm sure.
Good old Dr. Patel's going to set me right.
Yes. Get those chompers fixed up. Maybe.
I feel like that's a mark of a good dentist is when, like, they shake your hand and it's like one of these, like, dainty princess handshakes,
you know? Delicate in the mouth and the handshake.
No, for real, like, because usually, like, when someone gives me a handshake and it's just, like, they, like, offer you, like, they barely offer you their hand. And I'm like, oh, come on, man, let's do a better handshake than that. But I was like, actually, this is the one time where I'm like, maybe a super gentle touch is...
Not like a completely calloused over construction worker's paw.
It's like squeezing crushing the life out of your
hand, and you're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
This guy's going to destroy my mouth.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Oh, that's funny. I want to take a moment to mention, because I always forget to, that Tetracade is primarily sponsored through Patreon. And recently, over our end of the year stuff, posting our best games and whatnot, I mentioned that we needed a little help because our Patreon had been in decline. And really, really surprised with how many people stepped up and either joined the Patreon, upped their pledges, or just generally were very supportive of the idea of us doing Patreon. I actually heard from a lot of people that were like, I didn't even know you guys had one. Had I known, I would have been a member a long time ago, in which I was like, maybe I should pimp this thing more. So anyway, just want a special shout-out thank you to all those new Patreon members. Who are hopefully watching the exclusive video version of this podcast.
I feel bad now thinking that it's probably the first video that they're seeing with my 12-minute rant about the state of opioid addiction in America that started the show.
If you aren't a Patreon, then you're missing out on the exclusive discussion of...
the opioid crisis.
Opioid crisis, dentistry, lots of scooter talk lately, Instant Pot recipes, all sorts of cool crap that we go on about before the actual audio version starts. So
hey, I'll give out a freebie Instant Pot recipe.
Do it. I love them.
So this is by far our favorite so far. If you just you can probably find this on Google by just typing in Instant Pot White Chicken Chili recipe. Because I only ever make the one that comes first. but basically, it's a rundown. It's a fucking mommy blog, so they have to tell you their entire life story before they get to it. But so here's the ingredients. A little weird. So 2 large chicken breasts, okay. Black beans drained and rinsed, white beans drained and rinsed, a medium onion, a can of corn with the juice. You don't drain the corn,
which is corn interesting.
Yeah. A can of Rotel, like the normal kind with the green chilies. Yeah. Half a cup chicken broth. And then your normal chili stuff like chili powder, cumin.
Yeah.
And then you throw in a packet of the ranch dip mix.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
And then you just float some cream cheese on top of it, throw it in the Instant Pot, forget about it.
That sounds amazing.
It turned out, it was nuts how good it was. Next time I make this, I'm going to try the fat-free cream cheese though, because like just dumping like a brick of cream cheese in it, I was like kind of like doing like the calorie math in my head. And I was like, man, that cheese like doubled the calories of this stupid soup that I made.
Yeah, well.
But it was like, it made it like super rich. It was really, really good.
You probably wouldn't notice it or miss it if you had the lighter version of the cream cheese.
I don't know though. Is it the actual like cheese protein that makes it creamy, or is it like all the like milk fat in the cheese?
Couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
But yeah.
I think when it all cooks together and mixes up like that, I don't think you'll notice.
But yeah, dude.
You could also be ultra healthy and use Greek yogurt in place of, or no, I guess that's in place of sour cream. So I don't know if that would work here, but
yeah. But no, this is good. Throw it in the Instant Pot. You just dump everything in, throw it in the Instant Pot for a half hour, and you're good to go.
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to make it and not tell my wife what I'm making because she does not like chili. So
it's not chili-like at all. That's
right.
What's crazy.
That's why I don't want to tell her. I'll just tell her it's like a Mexican dip or something.
Ranch soup.
Ranch soup. She'd be all aboard for that.
But it was so weird, like, using the ranch packet for seasoning. And Lindsay was like, oh, yeah, that's like a major mom thing. Like, I know people at work that, like, everything they cook is based on a packet of ranch seasoning.
We bought a big container of ranch powder from Costco, and it's been life-changing because you're never out of ranch. All you do is mix mayonnaise and milk and ranch powder together, and it makes ranch dressing, like, the best ranch dressing
ever. Oh, well, you could probably use that for this, then. I don't know how much you could use.
It's basically the same thing as the pouches, I believe. So, but yeah, you can like throw a spoonful of that in basically anything and it makes it better.
Yeah, I've been on a major chili kick lately. I discovered the Mexican grocery store by our house has ground chicken breast that you can get from the meat section, which I don't know if I've seen before. I've seen ground turkey, but I didn't know like ground chicken breast was a thing.
I've used ground chicken before. Actually, it was pretty life-changing. Because I'd make chicken lettuce wraps, like you'd get at like a, you know, Chinese food restaurant or something like that, and they never turned out quite as good, because I could never get the chicken like texture or consistency right, and the key was switching to ground chicken, which makes it amazing.
I mean, that makes sense for chicken wraps. That
right,
chicken would be the key ingredient.
Prior to that, I would have never known about ground chicken. I didn't think about it. So
Instant Pot.
There's a glimpse of what you are in store for if you join our Patreon at patreon.com/tetracade for as little as a dollar a month.
That's another really good one.
All of this amazing information that is absolutely related to mobile gaming.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a lot of good. You guys still got to do the 15 bean soup, man. It's good.
And we ended up using our ham bone to make a soup. We were going to make split pea soup, and the store was out of split peas. Have you ever heard of that? What kind of store runs out of split peas? So we ended up getting this other, I think it's probably pretty similar to your 15 bean soup thing.
How many beans did you have?
Huh?
How many beans were in it?
I didn't count, but it had like 15 ingredients in it. And it was like, it was yellow split peas, green split peas, lentils, like all of that kind of stuff. Plus like several beans, black beans for sure. I don't remember.
Yeah, garbanzo beans.
Came out real good. So.
Yeah,
but I was in the mood for legit split pea soup, green split pea soup, and they didn't have that, so maybe next time.
I only ever tried to make that once, and it turned out really bad, and I've never gone back.
Really? It's really easy in the crock pot, and I'm a fan of using the ham bone to soup.
Did your bean mix make you fart like crazy?
Not any more than usual, I don't think.
Well, I guess it's a high watermark to pass, but... yeah, Instant Pot, man. If anyone listening doesn't have an Instant Pot and you're into like soups or chilies or other things like that, it's like the best $60 you'll probably ever spend.
I will say, not to just continue going on the Instant Pot path, but the other thing I made, which we just finished today actually, was so I cooked a prime rib for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And it was like an 11-pound one that I got from Costco that was pre-seasoned. And it also had all the bones pre-cut away so that when you're done, you basically just fold it up. That's, and then you can like make one slice across where the bones are still attached and then pull the whole thing out. And you more or less have a big rack of ribs. But then your prime rib is ready to be cut without having to worry about the bones or cut around them or anything like that. And so I saved that rack of bones because I was like, I'm going to make stock out of this. So I threw it in the Instant Pot with some onions and carrots and celery and all that good stuff and made a beef broth out of it. And actually, there was like a decent amount of meat connected to all those rib bones, too. So scraped all that stuff off, made a super yummy beef broth out of it, and then a couple days later turned it into a stew with like carrots and celery and peas and other good stuff. And it made a super yummy stew. So I thought that was really fun to be able to like use something that in a previous life, I would have just tossed, probably.
Yeah, I never make broth. I always just buy it from the store. It's like $1. I think
that's my number one favorite thing for the Instant Pot is making broth, because it's super easy, and it's super quick with the Instant Pot.
Did I send you this recipe for the chicken burrito bowl rice for the Instant Pot?
I think so.
This is also really good.
Feel free to send all these my way, because I'm all about it.
This one, yeah, if anyone listening, just Google Instant Pot Chicken Burrito Bowl. It'll be the first thing that comes up, because that's what I searched for. But, yeah, it's basically just a rice thing. Like, you throw rice and some beans and some chicken broth or whatever and some chicken thighs in, just forget about it for a half hour and come back, and it's like, oh, okay, this is amazing.
So I have a friend who, this is many years ago, that he was a roommate of mine, but he made $1,000 a month. Not a ton of money, right? But he was so good at managing that amount of money and living off of it. And so he would buy giant bags of, like, red beans and giant bags of rice and then just cook huge amounts of it and then, like, roll up burritos and throw them in, like, the fridge or the freezer. And then just to, like, keep him fed, would just unwrap a burrito now and then and eat it. He's also the master of, like, making instant ramen a million different ways to mix things up. But so we went to Costco the other day, and you get like a 20-pound bag of beans and like a 30-pound bag of rice, and they're both like stupid cheap. And so what I want to do is do like an experiment where we just buy those and try to see how long we can live off of them. It'd be like a net total of like less than like $10. You could probably eat for like a month or two if you didn't mind just eating like rice and bean burritos all day.
Yeah, what I would do if you do that is buy, and this will increase your initial cash outlay, but like go to Home Depot and buy like 2 food buckets with lids that are really tight and store the shit in there.
Yeah, because that's
like,
not bad.
We bought a bag of Costco rice, and that was kind of the problem, is like once you open it, it's like, all right, how do I store this like giant thing of rice now?
Yeah,
and I like read online that people are like, oh, just do the food grade bucket with the lid and just dump it in there. And
yeah, no, that is a good idea. But yeah, I kind of want to try that just because, I don't know, we spend a lot of money on food and stuff, and we even cook at home a lot.
Yeah,
but it still is expensive. So I think it'd be fun to see how much money you could save just doing that and seeing how long it lasts. So I don't know. Stay tuned for more. Maybe we'll have a spinoff podcast on living off red beans and rice.
My thing that I've been doing to save money eating is like really try to like use spices until they're gone. Because like that's always the expensive part of like you find some recipe online. It's like, okay, cool. Like chicken. All right. Got it. Like carrots. Okay, cool. Yep. Potatoes. Yep. All right. Fine. And then it's like, and these 6 spices, and like those will cost you like $25.
Yeah.
So that's my thing now, is being like, all right, I got chili spices. I'm going to go ham on chili.
Right. I want to grow a herb garden, because that always kills us when we just need like thyme for one recipe, but then you buy a little thing of it at the store and you use a few sprigs, and then what do you do with all the rest of that thyme? And I've learned you can actually, I mean, you could throw it in a bottle of oil and make like flavored olive oil or something like that. I've also tried freezing it in ice cube trays, which works okay.
You could just do what I do and just let it rot in the bag in your refrigerator until...
That happens like half the time. Yeah. You pull it out like a month later and it's like dark gray.
And you're like, oh, what's this like gross liquid in this bag?
Yeah. Okay, let's move off the totally related Instant Pot talk and move into mobile gaming stuff, because that is what this podcast is about. If this is your first time listening... it's like this all the time. I'm not gonna lie. This is how the podcast is every week. Also, I'm on the brink of delirium from being sick. So,
well, hey, we can talk about Instant Pot stuff all day long.
I have had people say they enjoy that and would requested more Instant Pot recipes. So, shout out if you are liking the Instant Pot stuff. But anyway, so this is something I just posted just now. A new game called Rogue Jack is coming out from developer Pony Wolf, and they are the ones that released Knights of the Card Table last year. I don't know if you remember that game or not.
I do.
It was a really cool like card-based game where you kind of rearrange the orders of the cards that were coming your way. It was pretty cool. And then so this is their new game, and it's actually a roguelike, like a top-down dungeon crawler, but the battling is entirely replaced with blackjack. And so you run into an enemy, and it literally starts a game of blackjack between you and the enemy, and it's really as simple as you trying to get as close to 21 without going over. And if you do, you'll take a point of damage away from them. If they get to 21, or you bust, or you go over, or whatever, a point of your health will go away, and that's how it plays out. And so you play different hands of blackjack until one of you dies. And the interesting part is that you'll earn experience as you go, and then your character levels up, and the level up is persistent. The rest of it's kind of roguelike, where you the stuff you've gathered and the weapons and items and things like that, if you die, it's all gone. Although you can semi-recover some stuff through subsequent runs if you can track down your where you died. But anyway, but your character leveling is actually persistent through the game. And so as you grow, you actually grow new abilities in terms of the blackjack battling too. The first one you get is that you get to see the next card in the deck. So you're going to know if you want to hit or not, because you know the actual next card. Sometimes it's frustrating because it's still blackjack is still luck based, but like, you know, if you see a 10 or a queen or a face card or whatever, and you have 13, like that sucks, because you know if you hit, you're gonna bust, but you also know that you're got a super not a very strong hand against the opponent or whatever, but at least you know. And then the next level up, you actually get multiple cards to choose from. For your next draw or whatever. So, just interesting little twists like that to kind
That's
of,
cool.
change up the
It's very like Zach Gagey,
I kind of got that feel too. But it's in open beta right now. You can actually go, there's a link to the forum thread in the story, and you can actually try out the Android or iOS versions right now. The normal release is going to be on February 14th, Valentine's Day lovers. And yeah, I'm
Perfect
playing
gift.
the test flight version. It's actually super fun. Feels more like a blackjack game first and foremost, with like dungeon crawler stuff added on just to make it interesting, which I actually appreciate, because a good blackjack game is a good thing to have on your mobile phone, I think. So yeah, like it a lot. Rogue Jack is what this one's called, and it's coming out next month, but check out the beta if you're eager.
Sounds good.
Today we had posted about this before because they had announced that they were doing this, but today
We
the
talked about this a
updates
bunch
for
too.
what's that?
We've talked about this a bunch too on the podcast.
Doom and Doom 2 both got their big updates today, which brought in a lot of new features like 60 frames per second support, which is weird. When you play Doom at 60 frames a second, it's almost like too smooth. It's weird. I guess the original game was locked at 35 frames per second, which I never knew, and I never really noticed. And I'm not a big frame rate geek or whatever, but like in certain games, and I would say most recently Dead Cells is the one where it makes a really big difference when you go in and you turn on 60 frames a second. You just notice it's so much smoother, and it almost feels like, I don't know, it's just crazy.
A lot of these old games, this is a thing that so Games Done Quick is happening right now, but a lot of these old games, like if you increase the frame rate or decrease the frame rate, like sometimes that like breaks the physics engine or other things enough that you can like get away with like weird exploits in these games. So I wonder if that
That's
had something to
crazy.
do with like the reason it was locked at 35 or
Yeah, maybe.
whatever.
But yeah, it definitely feels like a trip playing it at 60. And then they added some other new features too, like there's now a 4:3 aspect ratio, so you can play it kind of like as it's originally intended instead of the widescreenified version. The biggest addition is that they have support now for add-ons. And the biggest ones is they include for free, you can download the levels from Final Doom and the levels from John Romero's level pack that he released last year called Sigil, which is actually an entirely brand new chapter for original Doom that he created on his own and released for the 25th anniversary of the game last year, or maybe 2 years ago. But that's a pretty badass thing to have basically new, brand new Doom levels created by one of the creators of Doom.
They ran that at Games Done Quick, the Sigil,
Oh, no way.
and then something called Amid Sigil, or I'm sorry, Amid Evil rather, which
Oh,
also
medieval.
was similar. It was kind of like a Hexen kind of thing.
Interesting.
But yeah, that's the first time I've seen Doom Sigil. It was Doom.
Yeah, I have not played it. I had always wanted to, and like, you know, probably could have got it going on my laptop or something like that, but never bothered getting around to it. So this is my first time experiencing that I've wanted to play ever since he announced it and released it or whatever. And of course, getting like all the final Doom stuff is great too. These are good versions of Doom and Doom 2. So
yeah, that's neat.
Definitely check them out. They're updated. And $5 a piece. I'm actually going to probably splurge on the Switch versions not too long from now. Just because I'm feeling like playing it with control buttons.
Yeah. Did you watch any of Games Done Quick this week? Are you into that at all?
I have not. No, I always want to and don't.
You should, everyone listening to this should look up the run called Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 100% no source requirement. Specifically, is the no source requirement is the fancy part. So Ocarina of Time has been like, I don't know, there's so many people that like all they do as a hobby is like come up with new ways to break that game.
Yeah.
And like I never really know if the game was just like programmed weirdly, or if they were just like completely pushing the envelope and things just like were done in a way that like just had to be done that way to make it work on the Nintendo 64, or if it was just like really ahead of its time or whatever else. But like there's so much stuff in Ocarina of Time that they just keep finding these like new glitches and stuff. Like, so what makes the no source requirement run interesting is that you just have to get 100% of the items in the game, and they can come from anywhere.
Huh.
So they've figured out like all these crazy ass things you can do in the game to like spawn different items in the game world and like load them into your inventory and make things appear in chests that shouldn't be in chests and all this other stuff. So like the one brand new glitch that they showed off, and I'm going to do a super bad job explaining this. If you're interested in it, like please look up the video from this year's Game So Quick. But basically they do this like extremely elaborate dance inside of the Deku Tree dungeon to like load stuff, like to go up a certain amount, like look a specific way to like load certain things in the menu into memory, and they like go another way to like unload those things and like load other models of like they figured all this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then there's a certain point where like you kind of are like juggling the memory, like what's in memory of the game, that you can then start like fucking around in the menu and like bug that out to the point that then, and again, I'm sure I'm explaining this wrong, but this is a basic gist. And here's the impressive part is like, there's a point where you're able to change the item that's in a chest based on what direction Link is facing as far as 256 degrees of difference around the analog stick.
Oh my God. That's
and these
crazy.
People know, these people know shit like, okay, well, I want like Epona's song.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spawn that inside this chest. So I need to do this like elaborate dance to load this into memory, like have Link standing at like 172 degrees.
Yeah.
And then open the chest and I'll get the Ocarina song out of the chest in the fucking Deku Tree.
That is very wild. And who figures this stuff out?
I don't know. Like that's the amazing part to me is like, what, how do you even, because it's like, and you know, what kind of sometimes drives me nuts about like a lot of the speedrun community is like, they're big on being like, oh, this is bad programming or lazy developers or like left these.
Right.
Like no one in 10 billion years playing Ocarina of Time normally would ever do this stuff that they do in this game to like cause these bugs and stuff. Right. So I don't know. It's seriously a really cool thing to watch.
There's such a level of misunderstanding of how games are made when people make comments like that drives me crazy. But it gets more true the further back you go in terms of like games hardware and stuff like that, because the like magical sorcery type stuff that developers were doing in like the 8-bit days to get things to do certain stuff was just like mind blowing. And then you look at it like decades later and you're like, holy crap, these guys did this to this to this to make this happen. Like, I can't believe that. And as a player, you just take it as like face value, like, oh, weird, the background scrolls, cool. Yeah. But not knowing that like the painstaking lengths that people went to make that dumb background scroll when it like probably shouldn't have been or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I'd love to read some kind of interview with like one of the original programmers of Ocarina of Time that like looks at glitches like that and then like gets into like, oh yeah, well, like the reason you can do that is because like we had very limited memory and like we had to use all these weird shortcuts to like load things in and out, and you effectively figured out like how to shortwire that shortcut.
Yeah.
Or you know, whatever else to make that happen. But
yeah, video games are 100% made with toothpicks and bubble gum.
And like, they do this other thing that they did, like, so as part of the 100% run, you have to get the I don't even remember this from playing, but I guess like Skull Kid will give you a piece of heart if you play Saria song or something. So in order to get all to satisfy the 100% pieces of heart, which is like 20 hearts or whatever requirement, they do this bug where, like, so you know how Skull Kid like comes and goes away and stuff in Ocarina of Time, like they're able to like trigger the event of him spawning over and over and over and over and over. So they spawn like, I don't even know how many, like 100 Skull Kids, and then play Saria's song once and then get all the pieces of heart at once. But the crazy thing is that it's like pushing the Nintendo 64 to the absolute limit. Yeah. So it gets to the point where like it can't even load graphics and it looks like the game is frozen. But the sound is still going.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because like I guess like the sound is routed through a different part of the Nintendo 64 like processor or motherboard or whatever. So like they're doing this entire exploit based on like sound cues. And then like he gets all the heart and then Skull Kid goes away and then like the game resumes. And like I don't even fucking know how you figure that shit out.
Yeah.
Because any normal person would be like, oh, the game locked up.
Right.
All right, let's see what we can do now that the game appears to be locked up. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, Games Done Quick. It's really cool. Check it out.
That is wild stuff. Yeah. If you don't know, look more into how games are made because it's literally magic. And I think a lot of people that play games don't appreciate it as much as they probably should. And they take a lot of this stuff for granted. You just kind of take what you see in your screen as at face value, not knowing what's going on behind the scenes, which is pretty crazy. So, anywho, diverting from that massive tangent, back to mobile gaming stuff.
It was relevant.
That is relevant. So, developer James Center, who you may know from his previous games like Nano Empire, Friends of the Prince, or A Few Minutes of Glory, has a new game in the works. It's called Evelyn's Farm. And if you didn't know, this guy kind of specializes in making text-based adventures, similar to something like A Dark Room. And he's actually well-known for making all his games fully voiceover capable. And that's a really big deal because, unfortunately, as easy as Apple makes it and bakes voiceover support right into iOS, anybody can use it for any app, whatever. Not a whole lot of apps, it seems, take full advantage of that. And that's kind of a shame because, you know, people that are blind or even just very heavily impaired vision rely on stuff like that. And they should be able to play games, too. So having a text-based game that can be played entirely through voiceover is a pretty cool thing. And his new one is also voiceover capable. Evelyn's Farm, it's similar to his first game, Nano Empire, or also like A Dark Room, in that it's like an incremental game, which basically kind of like a clicker, kind of like an idle game, but it's all story-based and text-based, and there's multiple endings and stuff like that. Basically, you and your friends are going to this Lady Evelyn's farm to help her harvest to earn some extra money for college, but being that this is inspired by Stranger Things, some spooky stuff's going to happen to you while you're doing that. And so obviously it's not going to be as straightforward as just making some quick bucks doing some side jobs. So looks pretty cool. He's beta testing it right now. You can find a link to the forum thread where you can let him know if you want to get in on the beta test. But it's also planning to release on January 27th. And it's up for pre-order right now. A 50% discount, which means it's only $1, which is pretty cool. So if you like these kind of games, or if you've played like a Dark Room or whatever and want similar type experiences, anything by James Center is good for that. And I think this one will probably be a good one as well.
Yeah, cool. That's I don't know. I always like accessibility in games. That's really cool. Like, I don't know.
Needs
I
to,
wish more people did that.
Yeah, totally. this was a weird story this week. Apparently, there's a Final Fantasy 15 mobile MMORPG in the works.
When I saw this being tweeted out, I was like, there wasn't already one of those? Like, I feel like they have mobile MMORPGs for like every Final Fantasy game.
Looking back, because I had the same feeling, and so looking back through our previous coverage of stuff like this, I think it was in 2016, because that's when Final Fantasy 15 came out. But it was rumored that there was a Final Fantasy 15 MMO for mobile in the works by Machine Zone, who makes Game of War, and that ended up being whatever that Game of War reskin with Final Fantasy 15 stuff was.
Oh,
that was
right.
I don't even remember the name of it, but it was like insanely popular.
It was I'll look it up right now.
And not exactly an MMO either. So that's what
Fantasy 15, A New Empire.
That's what it was, yeah. And
I was talking to a friend of mine that has put an embarrassing amount of money into this game.
Yeah.
And like, it's always funny when you talk to people that play these like trashy free to play games, and they say they've spent money in it, and you're like, oh yeah, how much? Like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, like 20? Oh, no more. 50?
Feel bad because that game was like, it was like the epitome of like super crappy, like low res art, and just seemed like just such a half assed,
extreme
reskin of an existing game. And it just like bummed me out that it seemed to be so popular, but it was also like the game, you always got served an ad for that game whenever you played like an ad-based game or whatever. And it was like, drag the thing to the stupid thing, like whatever. And you're just like, bleh. But I'm sure some people like the game, so I'm sorry. But so no, this is different. This is actually being developed in Unreal Engine 4. It's not going to be, based on just the one piece of art that was released for it, it's not going to be like the chibi-style characters, like the Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition. That released for mobile a couple years ago. It looks like it's going to be based on the full console character style. And it's actually going to run parallel to Final Fantasy 15 itself. So when Prince Noctis sets out on his journey with his buddies in his cool car, you play a character that's actually setting out on a different journey at the same time with your set of friends. And you'll go and complete quests and save the world from different threats and do Final Fantasy stuff in parallel with Noctis. So I think that's kind of interesting, too, how it's kind of like a parallel storyline or whatever. And it sounds like you're going to be able to visit existing sites from Final Fantasy 15, but it's also going to introduce new areas that have been hinted at before, but actually make them realized in the game now. And so... originally this was announced back in 2017 as a China-exclusive mobile game. And at this point in time, I don't even think we didn't cover it at the time because there's so many games that are like exclusive to Asia that never come out here.
Right.
And it sort of got to the point where it's like, I'm going to stop getting hyped for this like free-to-play thing that's based on something I like, because it's just going to be this weird free-to-play game that does super well in Asia and they'll never, you know, translate. Well,
yeah, and I think like people really like learn their lesson on that, to like stop porting those over, because like if you just localize the language, like there's still like a big change you typically need to make to the game to make it like culturally acceptable,
right?
You know, like because Asian people, you know, and this is just kind of how the games are. Like they seem to enjoy games that have like autoplay mechanics and are super duper grindy and everything else. Where like a typical Western gamer, and we've seen this on Touch Arcade, you're like, even games that have like autoplay as an option,
People lose their shit over.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, I wouldn't even play this once because it has autoplay. You know, it's just like, all right, then don't. cool.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, they're definitely different cultural differences between what games, mobile games are here versus the rest of the world. But kind of cool. They've confirmed that they actually are going to be releasing this one globally, and it sounds like the scope has been increased from what they originally announced a couple years ago. And so, who knows? It'll be Unreal Engine game, so it'll probably look pretty, and be interesting to see what this ends up turning out to be like. But all we really know, besides this key art little teaser picture, is that there will be more info and a trailer released sometime in the first half of this year. So we're all, what, January 8th today? 9th.
Yes,
So
long, long wait.
in the next 6 months, there will be something more about this game. So keep an eye out. But definitely pretty interesting news. This got a lot of buzz. People were confused why they're making an MMO out of Final Fantasy 15 instead of the existing Final Fantasy MMOs, making a mobile version of one of those, which
It's
seemed
surprising,
kind of
like
valid.
particularly with how there's been so many of these games that are like real deal bona fide mobile ports of existing MMOs, you know, like RuneScape and God, what was the other one that just came out recently? I don't remember, but
Black Desert.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of
really
issue.
surprised that people like look so favorably on Final Fantasy 15. Like I thought that game was really shitty.
You see a lot of it feels like very polarizing. I see a lot of people that like loved it, and I think overall the consensus was people liked it. But you see the people that hated it really hated it. So I don't know. It was definitely quite different.
It just like I played it when it came out, and I guess they patched in an ending or whatever. But like, you hit a point when I played it that like got to the end of the game, it was just basically like a hallway with monsters and text, and it was like, this is extremely strange. When like the first half of the game was like ultra elaborate cutscenes and huge boss battles, and
Like it just fizzled out.
yeah, so I was like, all right, well, this is dumb. I'm glad I wasted $30 on this piece of shit.
Yeah, too bad Game Pass wasn't around, huh?
Yeah.
Moving on, this week, one of my favorite games, Sword of Zolan, was updated with full screen iPhone 10 support, iPhone 10 and later support. I don't know. I'm always a fan of full screen updates for old games because at this point in time, the iPhone 10 came out over 2 years ago. And if you haven't updated your game for it by now, chances are you're probably not going to. So I was definitely surprised to see this game get that update. And it originally launched in May of 2015. Just an action platformer, like, I don't know, not like doing anything incredibly new or breaking new ground or anything like that. It's just like a really solid game. It controls really well with virtual buttons. Also has physical controller support if you like that or whatever. Just a fun game. Really good art, really good humor. So if you just want like a really good platformer playthrough and haven't played through this one yet, it is now updated and ready for new devices. And like I said, it launched in 2015. They had one update since then to have 64-bit support, so it didn't get wiped out. And then no updates since then. And so, like I said, I was surprised to see this one getting the full screen treatment because I know it was just one guy that made it. So sometimes those people are the ones that kind of aren't able to continue updating their games or whatever. So always happy to see an old favorite continue to live on. And it's only a buck.
I
It's a dollar.
wonder if they updated this for the upcoming crossover game, Sword of Zohan. That would be a branded experience starring Adam Sandler
I
from
wish.
You
I
Don't
always
Mess
think
with
of
the
that movie
Zohan.
whenever I say the name of this. Nobody messes with the Sword of Zolan. But that's a surprisingly funny movie, by the way. Extremely offensive culturally to
I've never seen it. I haven't watched a lot of Adam Sandler movies. I feel like I kind of grew out of that.
Yeah. I haven't. I like Adam
I
Sandler.
don't know.
But that's actually a really funny movie. But anyway, Sword of Zolan with a X, Xolan. Is probably all you need to type into the search bar, really. Super good action platformer. I
Have you
get it.
seen, speaking of movies, have you seen the new Jumanji movies? Are you into that?
No, I've actually always wanted to watch them because
oh man, they're outstanding.
Everyone said they're awesome.
Weirdly good, like way better
well,
than they
should
be.
There's only been two new ones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But like, I don't know. The first one was really good, and I was like, all right, well, I feel like they juiced this as much as they could go.
Right.
And the sequel was like even better. Like, I don't even know how they did it.
Yeah. I'll watch anything with The Rock in it. That guy's entertaining as hell.
Because it was like The Rock playing Danny DeVito, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was just really good. Everyone should see the two new Jumanji movies. They're outstanding.
All right. It gets the HODAP thumbs up.
Yeah.
Jumanji.
Watch Jumanji while you're making an Instant Pot white chicken chili recipe if you really want. My life.
See if you can skip over to the other Dead Cells one. We'll talk about that first because it's relevant. Mikhail, our writer, our news writer, asked if it would be cool to do an article on Dead Cells since it was our 2019 game of the year, on which platform is better to own it on, since it's on Switch and on iOS and on consoles and stuff too. But I feel like the Switch and the mobile version is kind of the one you want to compare because those are the most similar sort of platforms made to be on the go or what have you. And so I was like, I like the idea in theory, but the iOS version is like severely behind content wise. Yeah. And I feel like that automatically puts it in a whole different, you know, bracket of comparison. I feel like it's not necessarily a fair comparison or whatever. But still, I was like, maybe people will be interested to know, because there is a lot of benefits to the iOS version over the Switch version. One of those is the 60 frame per second support that I mentioned earlier. The frame rate, it's kind of a mess on the Switch version. It doesn't bother me that
it's
much.
The crazy thing is, it's way better than it was when it first launched.
They fixed it up for sure. But I still think the game looks sharper and smoother and better on iPhone. And then... you know, it's cheaper, for one, is another benefit of the iOS version. Also supports controllers. And so, you know, effectively you could be playing it with physical controls and still have a way cheaper version of the game. The big pitfall, really, with the iOS version is that it doesn't have all the content of the console and PC versions. But... still, this story did really well. People really liked reading about this, and it did really well on like Twitter and stuff like that. I think it was a conversation people liked that we were having, and so we're probably going to be doing another one of these comparison things for Stardew Valley next. So if you are curious which version you think is better, or just the pros and cons of each, that's what he's working on now. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong. Just play Dead Cells on anything you can get your hands on. It doesn't matter. Just play it because it's a good game on every platform. But it also goes back to what we talked about last week. Wouldn't it be cool to just have your progress sync between every version or whatever? So anyway, we posted this story, and Playdigious, who is the responsible for bringing the game to iOS, chimed in and said, hey, actually, we are busy adding the extra content to the game, and at some point, they don't name a date or anything like that, but at some point, the iOS version is going to be on par with the other versions of the game. That's their goal, is to get them all parity between each version. So that's good news, knowing that they're working on that, and that someday, it won't matter what platform. It's going to be the same content across all. And it'll be kind of up to you where you want to play it. That'll make me want cross-save support even more.
Yeah.
But so kind of cool to know that they confirmed that. I think they confirmed Rise of Giants was coming, but this is more like confirming that, hey, all the extra content we want in the iOS version, we want it to be the same on everything. And they also mentioned the Android port too, which previously they'd been like, it's coming sometime in 2020. We're working on it. We don't really know. Now they specified a little bit, saying they're shooting for quarter three of 2020. So still a ways away, but Android people will be able to get in on the fun soon enough, too. So that was kind of cool to know that all that extra content is in the works for Dead Cells, because it's a good game. And that'll really remove the one big knock you can have against the iOS version, yeah. I believe. So.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, I cannot believe the legs that this game has.
Yeah.
Like
It's a forever game.
it's wild because like when it came out on it was like came out on PC, I was like, oh, that looks cool. I got on Switch and was like, yeah, this is great. Performance sucks. And they updated on Switch, I played the shit out of it. And then just kinda like capped out where I was like, alright, well I don't know, I've unlocked so much stuff and it's just kinda getting too hard for me and whatever else, but
Right.
I don't know, it seems like people just don't care. Just keep going.
Keep going. It's one of those games that will test your skills forever. And I don't think you can ever really master it fully, which is kind of cool. So, and then I did have an additional story to talk about that I don't think came across to you about the new controller that Razer is working with.
Definitely had that loaded at one point.
If we haven't mentioned before,
oh yeah, here we
organizing
go.
Your tabs on an iPad is unnecessarily complicated and does not work well. But this was kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I'm not...
Maybe?
I'm not, like, a huge fan of controllers for mobile devices. It's not a big thing to me. Like, I got super excited when they announced Xbox and PlayStation 4 support at WWDC last year. It was like, oh, it's going to be this big second coming. They finally are supporting these, you know, super standard controllers that a lot of people already own already. It's going to be a big deal for controllers and blah, 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 blah. And I definitely think it has been. And I think it's definitely increased the amount of people that know now you can use a controller with mobile games, and it made them more a fan of mobile gaming.
Yeah.
Because touchscreen controls have been a big turnoff to a lot of people for a long time. That said, it's just not my thing. I'm never going to bust a controller out to play any game, really. I just prefer to play with the touchscreen. That's the novelty of iPhone gaming to me, is that it's this one self-contained little device that's in my pocket at all times that I can bust out and play games on and not have to worry about connecting any peripherals or carrying any extra equipment or anything like that.
Well, that's why I still think the best controller I've ever seen on mobile was that Razer prototype they showed at E3 5 years ago now. The
one with the slide out back that was like a sidekick kind of?
Yeah, it was like a case that had this like, yeah, like slide, yeah, actually like more like the PSP Go, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you would slide
exactly
the case
like
up.
Yeah.
And the controller would come down, and you would have just the. I think what killed that was it was only buttons plus D-pad, and like that standard of MFI controller like rapidly fell to the wayside.
Yeah, it was the dumber, lesser controller version or whatever. But that case itself was rad because it wasn't even that thick, and so it didn't make your phone like abnormally bulky or anything like that. So it's like reasonably. You could reasonably keep it on your phone at all times and not feel weird about it. You know
right.
what I mean? Which I think was awesome. And yeah, I wish they would have explored that a little more. Well, anyway, Razer and GameVice have teamed up to create a new controller called the Razer Kishi, and for iOS and Android. And it's more or less, I don't know what you want to call it, the Switch setup, Xbox controller setup, kind of the offset analog. Thing, not the side by side like a PS controller, and it's like the other GameVice controllers where you pull it apart in the middle and it actually connects directly to your device, and actually draws power, I believe, too, from your device itself. So it's not something you have to charge or worry about batteries or anything like that. excuse me.
It's interesting because I'm curious how the like legal drama with GameVice and the Switch panned out, because this to me looks like way more switchy than anything they released before, right?
I don't know. I always thought that was sort of like a silly thing in the first place, but you know, I don't know. I feel like this is one of those things, like some people just straight up, you know, for me, a big part of like when I would use a controller with a mobile device, it had to be like a clip-on thing for an iPhone. Like I'm not going to prop up. I don't have an iPad. I'm not going to prop my phone up. You know what I mean? It had to be something that would hold on to the device itself. And I've used controllers where it's fun when it clips onto the back and it works like a little 3DS or something like that. Like that's pretty cool. But, you know, carrying around an entire controller like that, and especially with the ones with the clip-ons that don't fold in, it's just a nuisance. And so something like this folds up like reasonably small, and then clips the phone clips into the middle of it, which I feel like is a more ideal way of playing with the controls on the side like a Switch.
Does this have the springy stuff like the other Game Vice thing?
I'm not sure. I don't know if this was just a prototype or what. Yeah, the other Game Vices had like the really janky like rubber band thing that held the two pieces together. I don't know how they do it here. I imagine it's probably similar, but so yeah, I don't know. It's I guess it's cool that there's still like third-party controller coming out like this when PS4 and Xbox controller support came along. You kind of thought like that might be a done deal sort of thing. And I guess not. GameVice still sees value in this, and so does Razer, apparently. And yeah, as we all know, Razer's like gung-ho mobile gaming hardware company with their crazy gaming phones and stuff like that, too. So
I'm always curious how those are selling, though. You know,
I have no idea.
I don't know anyone
because they're very expensive. But yeah. I when the last one came out, the gaming phone, I was definitely tempted. I mean, it's like $1,600 or something like that. But I'm like, I really want to see what this stupid thing can do. But obviously, not gonna go drop the cash on something like that.
Yeah.
But people do, so I don't know. Popular enough to have a second generation of them, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're huge in Asia. That's always my... When anything doesn't make sense in mobile, I'm like, well, yeah, I don't know. It's probably just massive in China.
Yeah, it does seem like it. So anyway, this will also be a one of the controllers that has clicky sticks, which was a newish feature that a lot of original NFI controllers don't have anymore. So
to support Fortnite. I mean, I guess like that's the lens you have to like look at this with, right? So like... If you had like young Jared riding the school bus home in an era with where you had a smartphone capable of playing your absolute favorite game.
Yeah.
And you could just pull this little thing out of your backpack and be playing just like you were on your Xbox.
Yeah.
I think that would be like a no brainer. You would lose your fucking mind over that.
Yeah.
You know, but
I agree.
But now that you also own a Switch and other stuff, like me personally, like I can't think of a situation where I would grab this over my Switch.
Yeah, that's kind of my spot too. And yeah, if I'm gonna have to grab and carry an extra thing around anyway, it's probably just gonna be the Switch.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but like you're saying though, if I was like a school kid and like I used to have an hour to school and then an hour home from school bus ride every day, God, I would have killed for something like this.
Yeah.
I probably just played my Game Boy Pocket, I guess, would have been the time of... No, it would have been before that, actually. OG Game Boy, maybe, I played. But,
Game Gear, that's what I had.
I did have my Game Gear, but it was strictly played in bed at night because I had to plug it in.
That was a massive external battery that was really heavy.
But yeah, something like this, I can see, because you can just throw it in your bag that you have with you anyway for school, and not that big of a deal. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's always my problem with these controller accessories, is like if it doesn't fit in your pocket, it not, has to go in a bag, and if I'm going to bring a bag somewhere, I'll probably just bring my Switch.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Because like you've seen that little, I don't know, that little bag that I was carrying my vape around in, it packs. My Switch will fit in there if I take the controllers off. And that's like a really small, just little like shoulder man purse thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, I'm curious like what the footprint of this is compared to the Switch with the controllers off, like just in a pile.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if that isn't that much smaller.
The two sides are definitely bulkier and bigger than Joy-Cons by themselves. So, yeah, I don't know. Be interesting. I mean, I play around with one and see, and maybe it would open my eyes and change my thoughts or whatever, but I'm still kind of stuck on, like, not really caring about controllers for mobile stuff. So, whatever. Anyway, more information should be coming out about the Razer Kishi soon. And, yeah, that's about it. That is about it for stuff I had to talk about this week.
What did you mention the Android stuff, or did I?
Dead Cells Android stuff was mentioned in conjunction with the other Dead Cells story.
I was looking up the Switch stuff.
Keep up, Eli. Come on, keep up.
I can't even anymore. I'm a fucking idiot.
So I think I am slowly fading out. I can feel my soul leaving my body. So that to me signals that it's maybe time to wrap it up and put this one in the basket for the week.
You know what you should do is go lay on the couch and watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
I don't know why you're so resistant to watching the fucking show. It's so good.
Yeah. Maybe I'll ask if Pam cares about it at all. If she doesn't, then I can just watch it when she's at work and stuff.
There you go.
She probably does not care about it.
Honestly, dude, like, I like that show so much. Like, I watched it and then rewatched it with Lindsay, and I was, like, A-okay doing that because it was so good.
There's only 10 episodes, right?
I think 8. And they're, like, 8. Anywhere between, like, they're, like, a half hour-ish long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah.
So... It's like a long
blast right through that.
It's like watching a Lord of the Rings extended edition movie.
Yeah. We just watched You. Did you ever watch You?
I don't think so. I don't know what
it's
that is.
It's just called You.
Like about the letter U or Y-O-U?
Y-O-U. It's kind of a funny story. So it's like about a creepy stalkerish boyfriend guy that basically like fixates on a girl he likes and then uses every modern avenue possible to find out everything he can about her to make himself like the most desirable dude for her, right? Mm-hmm. Like he'll scour through her Instagram and Facebook and find out the things she likes and then happen to bring those up and whatever. And it's a super creepy like Lifetime movie style thing. And in fact, it actually was a series that launched on Lifetime originally and bombed. And so they sold it to Netflix. Netflix, several months later, showed it on Netflix, and it did phenomenally well and became this, like, you know, viral sensation show or whatever. So, and we watched the season. It was really good.
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix now. And so because the re-release on Netflix did so well, they greenlit a second season. And the original was based on a book, and then there was a second book. And so the second season...
Oh, I've seen this thumbnail.
Yeah. They're worth watching. It's the same thing. I think there's only 10 of the first season and 10 of the second season. Although they're 50 minutes long or something like that, so they're longer. But
this seems creepy.
They're super good. Like if you like Lifetime movie type stuff, which I do. Yeah, very good. Just finished those.
You should watch Doomsday Preppers on Netflix. You can see what my life is like.
Yeah, I need to Doomsday Prep a little bit myself.
Have you seen the movie Edge of Tomorrow?
No.
Tom Cruise. Oh man, I just recently rewatched that. That movie is so freaking good. Do you remember that? It's like, like the premise is like aliens invade Earth, and like Tom Cruise gets like splattered with this alien blood that gives him the power to, anytime he dies, the day starts over.
What?
Yeah. So it's like,
when did this come out?
A long time ago, like years ago.
Years ago, this is not ringing any bell.
Oh, it's really good. It's really the movie basically, like the first part of it is like him. It's like Groundhog Day in an alien invasion, and Tom Cruise has to like figure out how to like survive to like kill the alien mothership or like master brain or whatever the hell.
I can't imagine. I never heard of this, but it's ringing a bell.
It's really good. I just recently watched it. I was like, damn, I forgot how good this movie is. I guess it's based on some kind of like anime thing or like a manga or something that like I really want to watch, because I guess it ends totally different in the movie compared to whatever the source material is, which
I have to check that out. I am a Tom Cruise action movie fan.
Oh dude, this one is so good. It is so good. It's dumb. Yeah.
Because I love, like, Minority Report, and I don't know how action-y it is, but I love Vanilla Sky, too, so.
It's got a really good ending. Like, I've told you this a million times. Like, I love a movie that rolls credits at the right time.
Yeah.
And this movie, like perfectly ends at the exact flawless time.
Huh. Which sounds like a good movie to veg out on when you're sick.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's perfect. All right, well, are you ready to...
Yeah.
What violent thing are we going to fly this podcast into the Bermuda Triangle?
Crash.
Never
crash
to be seen again.
Zeppelin to the ground. I don't know. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode. As I mentioned before, we are primarily supported through Patreon. So if you like Touch Arcade and want to see us continue existing, please check out patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider throwing some support our way for as little as $1 a month. You can get access to this very cool, exclusive video version of this podcast, which contains anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes of pre-show banter covering a wide variety of topics. You never know what's next. And again, thank you. Shout out to all the new Patreons that hopped on board. Really, really appreciate the support. You can also help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And if you have any opinions on if you like Instant Pot Recipe Talk or not,
Or if you have
Instant Pot recipes to share.
That's what I'd be more interested in.
To share. Anything to do with Instant Pots or otherwise, you can email us at podcast@tetrakade.com. Haven't got too many emails lately. Always like getting emails. If you wanted to shoot us one, we will read it on air if it's not too controversial. And yeah, I think that about sums it up. So with that, hopefully I'm not this deathly ill next week. And we will see you on another episode of the Tetrakade Show.
See ya.